Midnight in the village, see the lights of candles from bitter end to gaslight. Buyers leaves the stage. Old stage notes when the black girl and guitar burn together on in rage. You've got what it takes. You say too much.
Yeah. Who in the Padres now is setting the world on fire, huh? Of course, that's David Bowie in a song he wrote on his Next Day album. And it's called You'll Set the World on Fire. And I'm thinking of Tatis, who we'll talk about a lot today. Welcome to the Philip Friar Phil. Well, I'm Philip, but the Friar Phil podcast. First one for the 2021 season. Thank goodness 2020 is behind us, and hopefully we're going to have a real, real good season. All right, I've got a guest, and it's the guy that we left off with last October, 4 months ago, a little over 4 months. Good old E.T., who's at SDFan21 on Twitter. And we're gonna say hello to him in just a moment, but first I want to welcome all you folks that are back this year. I want to say thank you for your support last year with the podcast. It was more than I ever expected. And I want to say thank you to all the guests I had last year as well. I never finished that final podcast for last year, so I didn't get to do all the thank yous. All right, and a big thank you to you too, E.T. Oh, little extra music there. Thank you to you too, E.T., for coming on the program again today. How are you doing?
Good to be back, Friar Phil. Doing great. Welcome to 2021.
Yes, we have arrived. And yes, I'm glad we did. With some breaking news, I don't know if it's really breaking news. Other people may know this already. But I just got an email from the Padres saying that you can gain priority access to Petco Park this season through Padres membership. So it seems they're going to be letting some people in. I don't know what time, you know, whether it's going to be the beginning of the season or if it's going to be after the All-Star break. But sometime along there, they're going to allow some people to come into the park and watch the games. And, you know, like everything in a capitalistic society, you know, the richer you are, the more privilege you get. So if you can afford a membership, you'll see the games at Petco Park. If you can't afford a membership, well, sorry, tough luck. But they're making it real easy to get yourself a membership this year. I just checked it out, and it's going to be about $1,300, but they give you 7 months to pay it off. That's about $190 a month, you know, for the seat that I wanted to sit in. And I'm really, really considering it because there's so many good things that have happened over the off season and what's going to happen when we actually start playing games on Sunday that I don't want to miss a second of this. I don't know how you feel about that.
It's no doubt about it. I mean, the excitement is building for this season. I mean, with all the moves that A.J. Preller did and how this team is expected to compete this year for sure. And you know, that it's just going to be, I mean, with the 2 million, I guess I heard that 2 million season ticket sales have already been sold, the excitement is building in San Diego, and we're just, everyone's ready to go back to the park in any way, shape, or form. I mean, technically none of us has been back to the park since FanFest last in 2020. So just to go out back there and experience the atmosphere again, just to watch baseball in that park, I'm sure those club memberships or whatever, those memberships are just going to be flying.
Yeah, I bet they are. And if I can do it, I'm going to do it, even if I get bitched at home for $1,300. Well, I want to smell the grass of Petco Park. Oh, I want to hear the crack of the bat. I want to see the players in the new uniforms. None of us have really seen them in person. In the new uniforms, in the brown and the gold. And there is so much I want to do this season. And I'm just like jonesing for it. It's terrible. It's like I'm jonesing for a drug. But my drug always has been, during baseball season, to stay sane, was baseball. And going to Petco Park when I could do it and when my body felt up to it and wasn't trying to argue with me about it. I just always use that as my drug, my happiness drug, you know, and it's just, I guess people and kids get this kind of feeling going to places like Disneyland. They get this euphoric kind of feeling when you walk through the gates and suddenly you're out of reality and you're into Disneyland with Mickey Mouse and Minnie and everybody else. Well, when we walk through the gates, we have Tatis this year. We've got Machado. We've got Yu Darvish. We've got all kinds of new players and players that were there from last year that are just waiting for us. And when you go through those gates, or at least when I go through the gates, I get that special feeling, and I want that again, damn it, you know, because of this COVID situation. And I don't want to make light of COVID, but because of it, I lost, you know, my drug for last year. And
none of us have watched a baseball game literally since fall of 2019. I mean, that's how long it's been since any of us has really sat down and watched a baseball game and just enjoyed watching Machado and Tatis Jr. just to watch regular baseball. Even though 2019 wasn't a great year of baseball, we wanted to be there.
At least we were there at the park.
Great. It was great just to be there, just to hang out, and just. But now, you know, the anticipation is much greater. I mean, I remember 2 years ago, back in 2018, 2019, a lot of us were questioning, oh, you know, when is this window of opportunity supposed to come, and when is it gonna arrive?
Yeah, promises, and promises.
We're looking at a team that's just like been built to win now and to compete. So we'll see what happens come baseball season, because I'm ready for it, that's for sure.
Oh, so am I. All right, let's start with the obvious. 14 years for a contract for Tatis. What's your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, it's the one thing with, you know, at first when I heard about it, I was pretty, you know, I was, wow, it's 14 years. But then when you look at the contract itself, it actually, the first 4 years, I mean, he's going to earn about $23
million. Right.
So, which you know, it's actually, you know, it's not up front. It's in the back end of his career when he's actually going to be paid the $36 million per year. So what it does is that the key is when you look at Myers' contract, which expires in I think it's 2023, in a couple of years. And then Hosmer's contract, I think, expires in around 2025. So then that's when Tatis's contract starts kicking in terms of more money. So what it does is, I guess, it allows more people to be signed within the next couple of years. And, you know, when you lose all those contracts, those high contracts across between Hosmer and Myers.
Right.
It then allows more wiggle room to you know, sign other free agents and bring up some of the kids that are, you know, waiting in the wings. 14 years is a long time. I mean, I'm going to be in my 60s by the time.
Yeah, well, I'll be.
By the time he's done as a Padre. But when you think about it, I mean, it's we're not used to it because we've given up. We couldn't sign guys in the past.
Right.
So this is relatively brand new to us. And when you sign a player like you did with Machado, when you sign a guy that's like Fernando Tatis, he's only 22 years old. When you think about it, think about the past. You think about you couldn't get an extension or a long-term deal with Adrian Gonzalez. We couldn't get a long-term deal with Jake Peavy. So it's guys like that. You know, we had to trade away guys like Sheffield. We traded away McGriff. We traded away more players than I can remember for prospects. So this is new. It's 2021. It's like a long time waiting when we're actually, you know, getting players you know, under contract and trading them and building a farm system that's still in the top two or three in the league. And when you look at what A.J. Preller has done in the offseason, I mean, I can go through the list of guys that he brought in. I mean,
we're actually going to do that, too.
Oh, we're actually going to do that? Do you want to do that now, or do you want to... You
know, let's finish talking about Tatis' contract. You know, I don't mind. They could have signed him for 20 years. For all I care, you know, I'll be in my 70s when it ends. So by then, hopefully I'm not peeing on myself and in some nursing home watching the games on TV or having dementia, God forbid. But as far as the contract goes with him, the only thing I'm a little cautious about is... We don't want it turning into another Albert Pujols kind of situation.
Yeah, that's very understandable. I mean, the way how hard he plays, too, he does have a susceptible for possible injury. I mean, the guy is, like, just a workhorse, and that's, you know, that's what he's praised on, his level of play, his mental ability to make plays. He just goes out and works hard, and he steals bases when he doesn't have to. He makes plays in the outfield. He makes dives. He makes jumps. He hits for power. He's fast as heck all around the bases. So there's a guy like that that you got to be cautious with that because he is prone to injury, and, you know, there's going to be times where he has a slump like he had last year where he couldn't figure out. He just went into a mysterious dive where, you know, he was already up for MVP. Everybody said that Tatis Jr. was going to be the possible MVP candidate, and within the last three or four weeks of the season, he just kind of fell off a little bit, and it took him a while to kind of get him back going again. So it's things like that, you know, you just got to be cautious of. I mean, he's going to be 30, I'm going to say about 36 by the time this contract ends. I mean, he does have a no trade clause too, so that's something
that's
there.
Good.
But I mean. This it's a guy that you know, this is what I believe a lot of fans in San Diego wanted, because this is a guy that's not only he's the city adores him, and he's pretty much paid it back by saying I'm here to stay. I'm a San Diegan now, and you've adopted me, and I'm going to play for you for as long as I can.
And I admire him for that. And he has done so much for San Diego, for the San Diego Padres thus far, you know, not only by playing and helping win games, but by putting us on the map. Last season, I don't know if you remember me saying that, you know, it was always like we were like the bastard child of the Dodgers. Yeah, you know, down here in San Diego, and you know, God forbid, CNN or not CNN, ESPN or Fox Sports or somebody national had to mention the Padres because they just spit it out real quick, you know, and that's the end of it. But last year we started seeing Tatis on commercials. We started hearing about Manny Machado. We started hearing about the team. We started hearing about the new uniforms and stuff. And it's about time that our team, with a beautiful stadium starts to get that national recognition. At least,
oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, with like I said last time we talked, I mean, Tatis has that swagger. He has that persona that MLB is, you know, starting to adopt and say, you know, this is, you know, the whole grand slam with a 3-0 count last year. It was like a negative thing at first. You know, it's, oh, he's just a second-year guy. He doesn't know any better. But then look what happened. I mean, it pretty much opened the eyes of a lot of fans, including a lot of the media, too, and the commercialism and the advertising and the marketing and say, you know, he's on the cover of MLB The Show 21. He's doing Adidas commercials, Gatorade commercials. He's all this saying that he's breaking the norm. This is a new type of baseball. You know, it's breaking the rules and it's good. You know, so you know, it gets fans getting a new set of fans is pretty much, you know, a lot what I guess Major League Baseball is trying to adopt and try to get. You know, because there's still a lot of traditionalists and stuff concerning baseball.
Yeah.
But with Tatis Jr. and his persona, I think they're trying to, like, you know, change the way the perception of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they're trying to make it fun again, I think.
Yes, exactly.
You want to have fun when you go to the ballpark. Okay, so do you remember last year I said that I was predicting that A.J. Preller would go ahead and do some incredibly good things over the break?
Yeah.
I also said that he was going to concentrate a lot on pitching. So obviously my crystal ball was working and I was right about that. But I want to hear some of your thoughts about the guys. Just go down the list of the guys that we picked up in the offseason.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hit it well. Little did we know that the amount of impact players that A.J. Preller went and got. I mean, first of all, you know, Jurickson Profar, having him re-sign again was a good pickup. I mean, he was basically a spark plug last year. He can play the outfield or second base, and I think it was 3 years, $21 million. So I think he, you know, brings that spark back, continuity back, bringing him multiple positions. Another guy that kind of went under the radar was Brian O'Grady, an outfielder, I believe, who played with, I think it was Tampa Bay. But he's a left-handed outfielder, a left-handed pop. He hit had a .351 on-base percentage, hit .280 in the minors. And in 2018 and 2019, he had combined 42 home runs. So he has, you know, he's got a possible Cronenworth-style breakout, that A.J. Preller. And I think he did the same thing when they signed Ha-Seong Kim out of Korea Baseball League. I mean, he has a career .294 average, on-base percentage of .373. He busted up 30 home runs last year. He's a right-handed bat. He plays second base, which is going to compete with Cronenworth, which definitely will, you know, they can put him against left-handers. But he's also open to playing in the outfield, too, which is good. Now, when you go down to getting Yu Darvish from a trade from the Cubs, that was kind of ridiculous. Getting Darvish and Victor Caratini, his own personal catcher. I mean, Darvish brings in a 3.24 ERA, career ERA, the second in the Cy Young last year. I mean, he's got like something like an 11-pitch repertoire. It's crazy, just so many different styles of pitching. And they brought in Victor Caratini, his own personal catcher, that comes in. He's a switch hitter. He bats .250. So, I mean, gone are the days of Hedges' .180 batting average. So, so we got two or three legitimate catchers that'll play for the Padres this year. And then you bring in Blake Snell. I mean, got that four-seamer. He's got a knuckle curve. He got a slider and a changeup. The dude has a chip on his shoulder after being pulled in the World Series, which he thought he was too early, which everyone thought it was too early.
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was rolling. So Blake Snell comes in, another Cy Young Award winner, 21-game winner in the past. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. Then you bring in Joe Musgrove, a four-seam curve. He's got a four-seamer, a curve slider, a change cutter, and a sinker. I mean, he was pretty much the number one guy in Pittsburgh. Hometown guy, grew up in San Diego. Jake Peavy was his hero growing up. That's why he's wearing the 44 this year. So it's great to see another hometown kid come to the Padres. I mean, and I think he's ready to break out because he hasn't had much experience in if you look at his stats, he hasn't had much experience on the mound in terms of starting pitching, but he was the number one guy going in last year for Pittsburgh. And then AJ signed Mark Melanson. I think it's called Melanson or Melanson.
Melanson. I think that, that's going to be another wing game name for me.
He's the wing genter of the.
Wing genter.
Mark Melanson. He's a career 205 saves. Definitely a right-handed veteran, 35 years old, has a career ERA at 2.85. Had 11 saves in 2020. He's kind of like an overhand right pitcher. He's pretty effective. I think his best year was in Pittsburgh, where he's a two or three time All Star. So if he could bring his A game again, like what he did in Pittsburgh, he'd be fantastic. And then there's another kid that came from Pittsburgh, Keon Kella. First I've heard of him, but apparently he was he knew AJ Preller back in the day, so. He was drafted by Texas in 2012. He has a curveball, changeup, four-seamer. Had 24 saves in 2018. He's a fiery guy, apparently. Had a lot of injuries and suspensions in the past. There's another clubhouse enforcer that's not going to take crap from anybody. So expect him to throw at someone's head, possibly, in the season coming up. So that's the anti-Andy Green pitcher right there. So,
yes.
So that's right there, nine guys that A.J. Preller has brought in this year, besides that minor league catcher that they signed a couple weeks ago. So that's 10 guys that they brought in. So, I mean, all these guys are impact players. I mean, you got that starting pitcher, those two starting pitchers, those three starting pitchers to include with the Nelson Lamet, it depends on how healthy he is. I mean, everything prognosis looking pretty good so far. We'll see what happens with Chris Paddock. I mean, Chris Paddock is...
he's worked on his fastball.
Yeah, working on his fastball.
Which he needed to do. I just hope he's worked on the not worrying about what fans have to say about certain things. And you know, it's just was too much last season. The fans don't like me. I'm getting nervous. I just can't do this. Nobody's going to put up that shit this year. Go out there and you pitch, I wish the guy the best of luck.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's apparently also working on a slider too this year, and I think with the fans coming back, I think it's definitely going to help him out because, like I said last time, he thrives with the fans being on there. And I think if he's been studying his analytics like they say he has, perhaps that maybe he's he can figure it out because second year in the league, teams were just pretty much honing on that fastball out pitch. I mean, everybody, if he was up 3-2, if he was down 3-2 or up 0-2, here comes that fastball, look four-seamer. And apparently the analytics that he was reading that his four-seamer was actually a two-seamer or something like that. So basically he was throwing softballs out there for hitters to hit, and they pretty much climbed on him and stuff like that. So, but yeah, definitely an exciting season coming up. I mean, all these rumors on Twitter and everything about Hader and maybe Yelich, I don't know.
Try to ignore that.
Crapola in my life.
I don't need extra crapola on Twitter and stuff. Morejon is going to start the game on Sunday against the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, and I thought that was
a good choice. I liked him last season. He did a bang-up job, and he was one of those people when the going was good, when he was pitching well, Ting Ding would come in and pull him. You remember when he was changing pitchers like underwear? It's like he pooped his pants every inning, so he had to go change them and stuff. That drove me fucking crazy. Morejon, I'm glad the kid's still with us, and I'm glad he's starting the first spring training day. Doesn't that sound good to say, the first spring training day?
I know, it's here already. Can you believe that? There's still people on Twitter right now that try to come after me, talking about the Dodgers and.
Well, I tell you what, they're really going to come after me next week with next week's podcast. My feeling about the Dodgers is, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it's about, and I don't know if it's out of the Bible or not. It may be, but it's a quote about knowing your enemy. Know thy enemy. Know what the hell they're doing. If we don't know what the enemy's doing, how are we going to go in and attack the enemy? So we're going to find out next week a little bit about the enemy. And I hope Padres fans will take it in that light, not flip out, not give me hell on Twitter saying, you're a Dodger lover. My reaction to that and my response would be a big fuck you.
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of Dodger fans, once the Dodgers won the World Series, they're all trying to come after me. But, this and that about Tatis and all that. But you know what? I just told them, you know what? Just focus. You just won a World Series for the last 32 years. Don't you have better things to do than try to berate an old Padre fan?
Right.
They
did it because they're scared. For the first time in years, they are scared of our team.
I agree.
There's a possibility that this team could knock them out of first place for the first time in a long time. And these Dodger fans are shitting their pants right now thinking about it.
I mean, it's
because they've got to be number one. They've got to be the great Dodgers. Well, yeah, fuck you. In Dodger history, there have been bad, bad Dodgers teams, and it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're pretty much there. I mean, it's just see how the season plays out. I mean, with the Dodgers getting Bauer, you know, it's already fans are already clamoring about him. I mean, they're. He says things on Twitter that just kind of like throws your hands up in the air and is like, why don't you just let it go and stuff. He just always has to have the last word, and now he's having a little tiff with Syndergaard, I think, in New York. So,
why?
So, yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Seriously, exactly. Grow up. It's like some people on Twitter need to grow up. And stop the bullshit, and we'll hear about that bullshit coming up in not next week, but the week after that. So just to give you all a little preview of what's coming up with the preseason podcast. As long as I'm on that note for a minute, I just want to put a technical note in here. I used to put them up on Wednesdays. Last season, this season, I'm going to put them up Friday mornings. So it's towards the end of the week. It's a Friday. Then you have Saturday and Sunday to listen to it. So if you don't see this going up right away today, because today is Thursday, that's when we're recording it, or on Wednesdays, don't panic. It will be up on Fridays. And that's my little technical note for right now. So, all in all, it looks like we're in pretty good shape for the start of the season. I like who we're playing. Again, I'm ill prepared. I should prepare myself better. I don't have the schedule in front of me of who we're playing, but I like who we're playing. We play the Dodgers in the second home series in April, so that will be interesting, I think, to see how the new team handles the Dodgers and who we get pitching for the Padres.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just don't know what AJ Preller also has in store. Sometimes he'll make trades or make signings during spring training. So,
oh yeah,
stuff like that of anticipation. But we pretty much know who'd be the starting five for this team come 2021. I mean, and you go with Lamet, Musgrove, Snell, Yu Darvish, and Paddock. So it's like you're pretty much knowing who's going to be starting. I mean, we're even forgetting that Clevinger is going to be back next year, whether or not he's going to be healthy and ready to go. But can you imagine that starting rotation in 2022?
I mean,
that's just something ridiculous, and it's just it can be more exciting for the next couple of years. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's not going to go away after this season, and
no.
that's why. And I want to see how you feel about this. I'm trying not to look at 2021 as this is it. This is going to be the season. We're going to go to the World Series. We're going to beat the Dodgers and take first place. I'm not letting my mind go into that kind of future wishful thinking stuff. So I'm not disappointed if it doesn't happen. What I'm looking for this season is just some good quality play from the team. And I hope another thing I said last year was I hope Jace Tingler and the coaches during spring training work on teaching these guys or reminding them what small ball is, that you don't have to go up there and swing the bat so you hit yourself in the ass all the time and try and get the big home run to play situational baseball. And that was one of our biggest problems, in the past X amount of years, not being able to get runners in scoring position home because they would go up and they'd have the runner in scoring position, and they'd overswing. They'd try to get that big hit. So I hope it's something that Tingler's going to work with the players with and the coaches as well with these guys so we see a change in that area too, because you can get all the fabulous pitching you want, but if you don't have hitters that can professionally hit the other team's good pitchers, you're not going to win ball games. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, you're definitely right about, if you look at the latter part of last season, when we played those games against the Angels and the Mariners, situational hitting was a concern. I mean, even when we had Moreland at the DH, it was an issue because he was trying to figure out, and it actually bled into the playoffs. I mean, when it took a while to get them figured out. I mean, with the against the Cardinals, and then against the Dodgers, where we'd left a lot of men on base, we had a low batting average with runners in scoring position, and it hurt. Let's hope this year that with the addition of some of the players, the new players, that we can actually get those key hits and come out of those with wins instead of leaving, because to be honest with you, Slam Diego was definitely, it was good, but then it spoiled us a lot because we definitely expected it. Not only spoiled us, but us the fans, but I think it spoiled some of the players because every time the bases were loaded, we expected a home run, and we had at least get a single going and drive in two or something, because some of those runs were just left on base.
Spoiled the players, spoiled the fans. It was like every night getting freshly baked lasagna, freshly baked eggplant parmesan. I love Italian food, and it's like getting that every night. For like five nights in a row, and then the sixth night you get nothing more than a can of beefaroni. You know, it kind of disappointed us when the home runs stopped. But that's why that's a good reason, again, why you don't want to have too much wishful thinking, mm-hmm. or puff out your chest too much like Dodger fans do, saying we're fantastic and everything's going to be fantastic in October, because you don't know what the hell's going to happen in October. Yeah. We didn't know what was going to happen when we were at FanFest in 2019. We had no idea that 3 months later, 2 months later, we'd have to wear masks, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't be allowed back into the stadiums. Funny thing about masks, too. I just want to throw this in here because I think it's funny. We're in an age now with this pandemic where you have to wear a mask everywhere. And I have no problem with that. The funny part is wearing the mask to the bank. Used to be they'd kick you out of the bank real quick if you came in there wearing a mask. But nowadays you have to. So it just shows you how topsy-turvy our world is right now. But, you know, I do think, because I don't want to be like a downer and say, you know, don't have any hope for great things happening with the Padres at all. You know, have some hope, but keep it realistic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely for 2021, on my feeling is, you know, I'm definitely excited about what the new players are going to bring and how this team is going to play. And I do expect them to compete. I do expect them to. I'm not expecting them to win 120 games or anything like that. I just want them to go out there and play solid fundamental baseball and win. I mean, because, you know, the Dodgers are going to be still there. The Dodgers, the Mets have improved. It's the Atlanta's still going to be Atlanta. It's going to be tough. Just, I mean, teams that are unexpected are going to show up. You know, you never know what San Francisco is going to bring. I mean, it's things like that you got to sometimes, you know, tone your expectations down, but then be realistic, like you said. But yeah, I mean, I expect this team to compete. I don't expect this team to be 30 games out of first place or anything like that. I want this team to, you know, to compete and win, because they're expected to play well. I mean, it's you know, that fear of 2015 when you brought in guys like Kemp and, you know, Upton, and you brought in Kimbrel and all that. That was, you know, that was the first taste of, hey, who's this AJ Preller kid coming in and trying to bring in all these guys? And we mm-hmm. tried that last time. But I think with the team making the playoff run last year, showing that they could win, you know, having Machado, Hosmer, who've won before, and you know, teaching guys, young guys like Cronenworth, and you know, even Myers, who's been on this team for a long time, you know, they've come together, you know, they're putting wins together, they're believing in each other now, and they're actually there expecting to win. It's not like previous years where they went in and they thought they could win a game, but then it just kind of tailed off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the expectations are there. I mean, if the Dodgers come back and they play well and they somehow, you know, expect that. I expect that the Dodgers are going to be right up there with them, and, well, you know, and they're favored to possibly win 106 games according to prognosticators.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, realistically, like you said, I mean, you know, we'll see how this is a 162 game season now, so it's not like a 60 game season. You got to see how Paddock holds up. You got to see how Lamet holds up, his arm and all that, and all everybody. So, you know, I do expect and I want this team to win, but also, you know, this is their first team. This is first year together as a whole team. So we'll see what happens in 2021. So I'm very excited, but also, you know, you can be definitely cautious as well.
Oh, yeah. And I hope the other fans will be as well and won't be too hard on the team, although I will be in my videos if we're not learning how to play situational baseball, or if Ting Ding does something stupid and stuff. So that's not going away. The videos will still be happening, probably not as frequently as They were with Andy Green, but I'll still do some videos as well. All right, E.T., thank you so much for coming on, doing a little fan fest preseason baseball talk here about the Padres. And I'll connect with you sometime during the season to check in and see what you think of our Padres a couple of months into the season.
Thank you, Fire, for having me on.
Okay, you take care.
You too.
And I've got to tell you guys, I feel like a little kid. I am really, really excited about the season, and I think it's going to do our team, our city, and our fans justice. Now, one other thing about Tatis. If I found out that I was signed to a contract for 14 years for all that money, I'd go home and I would play this song for my wife, and we would dance, and we could possibly be a king and queen for the day. So we'll finish up with David Bowie like we started today. We'll talk to you next time. You take care. Be safe out there and keep it lit.
And swing.